RIS Media reports that Google has decided to jump into the listing platform portal wars, with local Google Ads advertisers taking the leads. Also, Daryl Davis joins us on The Clean Close to discuss his recent Inman op-ed called What Compass Actually Wants from the MLS Zillow Chess Match. Welcome back to this edition of The Clean Close. Welcome, Daryl Davis, to The Clean Close.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Yes, of course. I mean, how could I not invite you to come on when you wrote such a compelling and intelligent piece on Inman just a day ago? Yeah, 2 days ago, June 9th. Your article came out called What Compass Actually Wants from the MLS Zillow Chess Match. People in the audience here, if you haven't read this, I think you should. You're obviously hypothesizing, right, Daryl? But
yes.
Some of us, I feel like, can see the forest for the trees. And what you're seeing, and I would love for you to go into more, is that the MLSs need to act now or they are going to basically make themselves non-existent. So can you go into the article and what your main hypothesis is?
Yeah, and by the way, I was looking down because I thought to myself, you know, it'd probably be a good idea if I had my own article in front of me, because I've written so many articles in the past,
sure,
you know, couple of months. I mean, I know what this article is. There's four options that, listen, first of all, I need to say this, that I am not anti Compass or anti-Robert Refkin. I've always said, and I think I even said in the article, that I think he's a brilliant tactician. He's a really smart guy. He's doing what he needs to do for his business. But the more I see what's happening, the more it's like I wrote another article before that one. It was Compass Shows His True Colors. So, you know, I'm probably not making Robert too happy, but, you know, I need to be honest with how I see it. And what I see what's happening right now is there's a fight for, and I know Robert wants this. He wants a national MLS system. I mean, he said, and you know, when you think about it, Courtney, that sounds like a great idea. I mean, just think about it. All right. I know. Yeah, that's right. For the rest of the viewers, think about how great a national MLS would be. You would have All of us would have the same form, the same fields, the same abbreviations, the same policies. I mean, it would really simplify our industry, easy peasy.
Right.
You know what else would also be easy peasy? If we only had one cell company, or if we only had one mobile telephone, or if we only had one airlines.
Okay, Daryl, let me play devil's advocate for just a second here.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I like in the article that I sent to you, the Inman article from years ago, when I predicted that this would be the impact of Clear Cooperation, if you read the article, it looks like I'm against a nationwide MLS. But as things have unfolded here, I definitely don't want one company to control the rules of the MLS. But your argument saying, well, you could have one. Well, we have one National Association of Realtors, right? That's not competing with anybody. And the reality is, even though some of us may have one or two MLSs in a particular area, the level of service they provide is comparable, negotiable. You have to, as an agent, go with whoever your broker tells you to go with. So you don't really have agent choice. Brokerages might have choice, but it's really kind of six of one, half dozen of the other. There's no MLS that's out there breaking the rules. CRMLS is the closest thing I've seen to actually, like, you know, require. They were like one of the first to even require that Zillow put the listing agent contact information on the listings. And we're talking about 10 years after Zillow had already been around. So just as devil's advocate, the competition idea, I think, may be an overrepresentation of what's really happening right now in the market, but go ahead.
Yeah, so my concept about there being one telephone company, one airline, one, all of that, obviously is a horrible idea, because that is the whole concept of monopoly. That when you have one of anything in any industry, it creates a real problem for the consumer, the end person, because that one company can control and do whatever the heck they want. So on the surface, a one national MLS sounds like a great idea, and it's actually the opposite. It is a total horrible idea. And the reason why it's a terrible idea is because the brokerage that has the most paying dues members of that national MLS is the one that's going to control the MLS.
And okay, hold on a second. Wait, let's jump in for one more second here and let's talk about this. So if it was a, in my humble opinion, and I don't know how much you know about me, but I was a broker owner for 15 years. This year, we just moved our brokerage to become founding members of Serhant in California. So it's been an exciting move for us. But as a broker owner, I have always had a kind of suspicion that Zillow, and actually in recent years, Compass, had an unequal impact on NAR, for example. I'm like, you know, they seem to, I don't know if it's actually real or just imagined, but I don't think we have any kind of democracy actually right now as it is. I think there's already been a lack of one voice, one vote in our leadership. These policies that have created the crisis for MLSs came from NAR, came from Clear Cooperation. I don't know if they asked you to vote on this, but I wasn't asked. And whenever I voiced my opinion, I got a cease and desist from my board. I was on the directors. I got a cease and desist. I've had other people say, you really need to come and give your voice to NAR, like join the committees. They have a gazillion committees. I know Nakia Wright wants to right this ship. We're past that point. There is no representation as it currently stands. Also, what that has led to is Zillow is already a de facto nationwide MLS. So if we created another agent-owned nationwide MLS, we might have a bigger lobby to create rules that allow us to personally market in our remarks. You know, agent-forward rules. Right now, our MLSs seem to me to just be collecting dues and basically, you know, for lack of a better word, prostituting our data and listings and content for licensing fees to aggregator sites. I'm not sure what role they serve anymore, but it just doesn't seem like they are doing what agents need them to do, and a new MLS could solve that. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, there's so many different things, and they're separate conversations, separate fixes, like NAR, CCP, which I agree with you. CCP was a big mistake, and it's added to where we are right now. The CCP did not help combat private listings. It actually forced more listings to go underground.
100%.
So we're on the same page there. As far as Zillow, I am not a fan of Zillow. I've done plenty of webinars saying Zillow is not our friend. And I've been tracking them since they came to the industry. But Zillow and a national MLS are two different animals. And I will push back on what you said, that if we had a national MLS, that it would compete with Zillow's facto duo, whatever, MLS. So because here's the problem with a national MLS is whatever broker has the most paying dues of that MLS, that's the one that's going to control that MLS. Period.
How do we know that, though? What if there's a board of directors that's represented?
It's already happened.
What do you mean? We don't have a national MLS. How has it already happened?
Okay. Here's how it's already happened. You've got the MLS, MRED, in Illinois, that just partnered with Compass. Okay. Compass told MRED, hey, we have nine listings that Zillow boycotted in other states. And so what MRED said, because of their new buddy, they told Zillow, if you don't put those nine listings back, which MRED has nothing to do with those nine listings because they're in other states, right, then we're going to cut your feet off. So there's an example of one guy, Robert, who makes a call to an MLS, pressures them to then cut the feet. And here's the problem with that. None of those brokers of those 43,000 listings had any say in it. Those 43,000 homeowners, hang on. They didn't have anything. So you've got, that is a look into what it would be like if we had a national MLS with Compass being the leading brokerage that has the most paying due members of that national MLS.
So aren't you suggesting that Compass would cut its own feed to its own nationwide MLS? I mean, no, I don't see where the conflict would be, because right now, if NAR is basically not enforcing clear cooperation, also not getting rid of it, which it absolutely should do, and there are some state laws, you know, that have come out that are saying, you know, we need more disclosure. There are certain addendums. They're really not outlawing private listings. They're just making more disclosure rules around them. Would you agree? They're not like outlawing them.
Yeah, no, they actually are. One, New York said they just passed the law. Well, the governor has to sign it yet. That every listing must, at the moment that it's listed, it must go public, period. So there's no private
listing. I saw something that said that this law that was passed just has an addendum that would require the sellers to sign, basically acknowledging that they may get a lower price, that they may have fewer showings, but it didn't fully outlaw private listings. So you're saying that's not the case with the New York one?
You're right. The seller has to sign an initial line by line. So not just sign one form. They have to initial that if they choose to not go to publicly advertise their house, then yes, they're going to lose money. It's going to take longer for it to sell. We haven't seen the form yet. So no, they haven't outlawed it. But
what they did
the opposite. They said, They said every listing that comes to the market must be public. Right. And if a homeowner chooses not to do it, then here's the form that must be submitted.
Right, exactly. So, that's what I'm saying. And Compass already has, other states have passed similar laws. None of them are actually banning private listings, despite the headline, which looks like pressure. Compass already has an addendum that says this. I've seen it. I can't believe any seller would sign it, but they already have that. So what I'm saying is, In this scenario that has happened with MRED, using its leverage, maybe, because we're not even sure why they have any jurisdiction over other states' listings, to bully Zillow and this kind of a thing, I see the point where you're saying, look, this is like one call from this guy, and none of these homeowners had anything to do with this. But it's as if Zillow is equal, or almost a right, because sellers want their listings to appear on the most searched site on the web for home listings. But Zillow is a company. Zillow has the right to say no, yes, whatever. In my opinion, they're not. It's not like it's our association or the law. They're like a private company. If they wanted to curate their listings however they want to do it, why should they not be able to do that? You know, in my opinion, just saying.
Right.
This is not a demo. It's not like a homeowner, even if they want their listing on Zillow, they don't have the right to have their listing on Zillow if their agent doesn't agree to abide by Zillow's rules. In my opinion, that's a conversation that should happen at the listing meeting. But this is why I'm saying Zillow is, by most consumers' point of view, a nationwide MLS search tool. They can search anything, anywhere, kind of like Redfin, but Zillow is more dominant, like by many, many percentage points, like 85% of homebuyers search on Zillow. You know, so we're talking about a major monster, but agents have no say in it at all. I don't get to say anything to Zillow about how they operate. And so, yes, Compass has 30%. Or whatever. So maybe, if they pulled out, it would be a big thing for a nationwide MLS. But in this current scenario, I have no power for Zillow. So at the very least, as a dues-paying member of a nationwide MLS, there would be a bigger band of franchises, independent, singular broker agents who would
Courtney,
all...
If you think that a national...
I'm playing devil's advocate, but I'm just saying.
If you think that if there was a national MLS, mm-hmm. that you would have any more say than you have now, I'm sorry, but you're delusional because that would not be the case.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. I have a question for you.
I'm just going based on facts. You just
saw
what
happened. Well, we don't have facts because we don't have a nationwide MLS. I have no voice in my current local one. They don't really compete. And Zillow is the closest thing to a nationwide MLS that we have.
It just happened in Illinois. What are you talking about? It just happened.
That was a stunt. We all know that. Obviously Refkin wow. has the ability to cause media stir, to make big impacts. But you could have a nationwide and local MLSs if you wanted to. But me personally, Daryl, I've been licensed in 5 states. I currently operate in 2. I have to join 6 MLSs in order to sell in two states because we sell Ventura, San Diego, Los Angeles, Central Florida, and South Florida. So for me, it is extremely expensive to be able to list my properties and all of these. And some of them do not have reciprocal agreements with each other. If somebody said, listen, you pay me $35, you can put your listing on Zillow instead of belonging to this MLS, and it's going to hit 85% of the buyers already anyway, it's a no-brainer. So the fact that I have to belong to all of these feels like mafia-style mandatory union fees, taxes, tax on me. And I think personally, as more agents move, you know, and want to take their business with them, for example, or work in multiple markets, which started to happen after COVID, the idea of having one platform to belong to, one place to put our stuff, one tag, like all the things you were saying before, becomes even more appealing. I like it, personally, but I understand your concerns.
I think that if you were to call those 43,000 homeowners in Illinois and ask them, hey, how'd you think the stunt went with Compass and Emerit? I don't think they would see it as a stunt. I know companies like Barrett and Warner, when I spoke to Steve Barrett a few days after it happened, he didn't think it was a stunt when his phone was ringing off the hook because all of his sellers were calling up, what the hell happened? Why is my listing not on Zillow?
Right, so but again, Zillow is a brokerage. Zillow was our competition. Zillow can make its own rules about what it shows on its site. In fact, Realtor.com could have been Zillow.
That wasn't Zillow. I don't know what you're talking about, Courtney. That was really? Not Zillow's decision to not display those listings. The 43,000. No, that was Compass's decision.
No, I
had
know.
Steve Baird's listings come off of Zillow.
I know. What I'm saying is you by default don't have a right, like in any way, to have your listing automatically be on Zillow. So if Refkin makes a deal with the MLS where your agent is registered and they threaten Zillow and Zillow doesn't do what they say and then they end up cutting the feed to Zillow and now your listing's not on Zillow, in my opinion, it's not Zillow's... If Zillow made a rule that would make them not... If didn't want to abide by Refkin's demands, that's Zillow's right. And if the impact of that is your listing falls off, it's not a right for your listing to have to be on there anyway. And
no,
I know Zillow, you know what I'm saying?
That doesn't make any sense to what you just said, because that's not what happened, and that's not what I'm talking about.
When MRED cut off Zillow, this is from your article, when MRED cut off Zillow, Zillow published instructions for brokers to create a direct feed. Realtrack pointed its own brokers to MLS Grid as an alternative path to Zillow. So the market corrected. Zillow automatically created a dashboard where agents and brokers could enter the feed to put their listings back on manually, you know, and Realtrack pointed its brokers to MLS Grid as an alternative path to Zillow. And in my opinion, if Refkin keeps going doing these little stunts, there's going to be more of this, manual entry options that work around. I think Refkin's doing a lot to catch attention. I'm not threatened by him. I don't hate the idea of an alternative to the system we already have, which isn't serving us. But, you know, I don't know why you're saying you don't understand what I mean when you put this in your article.
No, that was not this. Yes, that's what Zillow did to try and combat what MRED was doing. But I think you might be missing the point of the article. The point of the article was, one broker decided what happened to 43,000 listings in Illinois. And if I were a broker, if I was sitting in your chair right now, I'd be friggin' pissed and concerned that one broker, a competing broker, would have control over my inventory. I mean, you're talking about how you have a concern about that as an agent and as a broker, that you don't have any say in what happens with Zillow and what's a... This is 10 times worse. You got a competing brokerage that's deciding what happens to your inventory.
Yeah, but do you think that's MRED's fault? More than anybody else's? I mean, is it MRED's like responsibility? Is it MRED that failed those people, those sellers?
MRED had 100,000 new members called Compass agents that Robert paid for those 100,000 agents to go to MRED. So now MRED is financially beholden to Compass because they've got 100,000 new members. Do the financial math. So obviously MRED folded because now Compass is their biggest client, which is the point of why a national MLS would be the worst friggin' thing. It would decimate our industry the way we know it. That's what would happen. There's a reason why it works so well to have 489 different MLSs, is that what happens, number one, is those local MLSs are customized locally. Number two, they're governed locally by those brokers and whatever committee or that association. There's different formats. But they become a guardrail that not any one national broker can control our data from a national level. So those locals act as a silo. Now, I just did a white paper that's hopefully going to be published pretty soon that says the solution to this problem is an actual alliance. Just like Visa, when Visa first came out, the 1956 Bank of America created the first credit card, and all of a sudden there was all these different problems with the bank. So Visa got created to be a governing body that governed AP News, another governing body. The other company, it's escaping me now. So anyway, we have something called CMLS. We can have that group be the governing body of all the local MLSs that has rules, and they can pool their money, and they can fight off any legal problems that they have. But anyway, that's my thought. I think.
Okay, I have a question for you on that then. Because right now, don't the majority of MLSs follow NAR rules? I mean, don't we already have a body that pretty much tells the MLSs what they can and cannot do?
No, the NAR is not a governing body of the MLSs.
Well, every single MLS that I've ever belonged to is very clear that they must follow the rules of the National Association of Realtors. And even non-realtor members still have to follow the rules of the MLS, which follow the rules of NAR.
Courtney,
Especially this became very clear during Clear Cooperation.
You've got MLSs now that are saying that they're not adhering to some of the new rules that have been coming out from NAR. So
Finally now that's true, because NAR at their conference last year made an announcement that they were going to stop with the MLS policing, right? I don't know if you were there, but Nakia Wright made an announcement that they were kind of trying to decouple. I think they're trying to save themselves from additional liability now. But prior to now, and this really only seems to come down to Clear Cooperation, in my opinion, prior to this, they were enforcing it. Our MLSs and our local association were encouraging agents to report each other if they did not abide by Clear Cooperation, literally trying to have us police each other. And in this new incarnation, NAR openly admits that they would like to move the policing power to the MLSs instead of NAR. So in my opinion, they're handing a power to MLSs or getting rid of it themselves to avoid liability or whatever, without MLSs having the structure or even the agent input or guidance or leadership. Like our CRMLS, the MLS CLAW is, the CEO was an accountant. She's not in the real estate sales industry. She doesn't, it's not operated like it's for agents by agents. It's meant to be a data portal, kind of cooperating commission database and statistics. And it's falling short of delivering on any one promise, in my opinion, but being a pass-through for us to give them our photos and our listings and get it out to a bunch of people. If that's its service, there are other options. I think it needs to figure out who it is, separate and together with NAR. I'm not mad at the idea of all the MLSs coming up with cohesive rules. Simplicity would make our lives a lot easier as agents and real estate brokers. But I also think the same problem applies whether you have 489 MLSs that are still 30% Compass or an entire nationwide MLS that's 30% Compass. You know, I mean, it's still the same amount of dues paying members who by if you're one person, one vote would have the same problem.
No, that's not how a governing body works. What happens is that you have you'll take three groups of MLSs, the large MLSs, medium size and small size, kind of like how Congress set up. And you would have maybe two representatives from this category, two from that category, two from another. And not any one of those would be realtors, real estate brokers. They would be staff people. So it would balance. So you would have, that's actually how our Congress.
Staff people? People who have no interest in selling real estate? That's what we have now.
Okay. So if you put a realtor on the governing body, it could slant it. Maybe that is. Maybe you put a realtor.
That part
I don't care about. But okay.
Can you give your girl a little hype? If you love what I'm doing here, like, comment, subscribe, share with your industry friends. DM me if you want to be a voice on the show. I love talking with people. Obviously, I'm curious about what's happening. Checking myself to see if my opinions are in the right place or not. Always a space to learn at the Clean Close. Please give me some support. I love, love, love the feedback we've received so far. And I appreciate everyone for tuning in. Now back to the show.
So board seats allocated across size tiers with designated seats for large regional MLSs, mid-size and small. So every class of member holds real power and no class can be steamrolled. One member, one vote on the national rulebook floor. They would have term limits and et cetera. So these would be, the way it would be structured is it would not be any one large brokerage that would control it because it's a governing body and it equally displays the power and the vote amongst that committee. So this model is what has been used in many industries, the newspaper industry, the credit card industry, Ace Hardware, that's how they came about. Ace Hardware was a bunch of local stores that they came together and said, hey, so we can compete with the big boys. Why don't we form our own governing body? And so every Ace store is individually owned, but it has a governing body. So it looks like a brand, but it really isn't to compete with the Home Depots and et cetera. So.
Okay, but in the example of a nationwide MLS, why couldn't we have the same type of governing body? Why couldn't there be a mix of representatives from certain regions or, you know, why wouldn't that work if they are not, you know, salespeople? They are staff. Why wouldn't it work in that scenario?
Because it's a national MLS.
Yeah, it's a national MLS.
Yeah, so that's why it wouldn't work.
It couldn't have a governing body?
No, because it's one MLS. There's only one
body. Yeah, one MLS with a board of directors. You know, it could have 10, it could have a board of directors that has people on it that are not all from Compass that, you know, represent independent boutiques, individuals, whatever, or staff people or whatever mix of industry and non-industry people you would want to have on it. I just think the
era. So you've got Compass and Anywhere, right, with 340,000 agents, and you think that there's going to be a governing body that's going to be able to outvote Compass and what they want.
You know what'll happen? Well, it's not one person, one vote. We're talking about.
Then not be a member of your national MLS. They would just
what if it's their national MLS?
They would just create their own. Exactly.
Well, you know what? You actually bring that up. And if you look at the, you know, when this all started to unfold, I also was like, okay, Compass is partnering with Redfin because Compass can't get Compass.com off the ground. People don't go to Compass.com to search for listings. And even though Redfin is behind the numbers as far as Zillow, maybe with this new acquisition, they could somehow boost each other up. I understood what they were trying to do. And because Redfin is kind of also like an alternative to Zillow in its nationwide coverage, and sometimes in some ways I think less threatening, I'm like, you know, I think any I think the consumer's not going to go to five different sites. Compass is not a player here. Their partnership with Redfin just gives them access to listing in a nationwide portal that people actually are using that's an alternative to Zillow. I don't think Compass.com has a chance of getting itself off the ground because buyers and sellers don't want to see 30% of the listings. They want to see the whole nationwide set of listings. And that's the power that the rest of the industry has against it. So even if they're 30, oh, it's like one behemoth. Yes, it is. You guys let this happen. In fact, Clear Cooperation created the pocket listing kind of idea that Compass even has. It's our own fault we let this happen. But still, there's 70% of us, 70% of the rest of us who are still selling real estate, still, you know, trying to do it fairly, want the majority of our listings, except in very special circumstances, to go online. You know, I just think that on some level, Compass is trying and testing all of its different options. And while they're doing that, our own MLSs are being weakened. And I think because there's not a currently like a head, a speaker, our industry seems so quiet on almost everything. Like it takes a lot for NAR to even come out with a statement. We're missing the leadership. So even though you and I disagree, I really appreciate about your article the urgency of the MLSs to do something to respond. Do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share?
No, I think we disagree on some of the points, and that's it. It is very disturbing. The path that we're heading right now, we're going from, you know, I have so many clients all over the world, Germany, Australia, New Zealand, and I can tell you every time I deal with one of the other countries, organizations in the other countries, they always have said the same thing to me, which is, you guys have the best system in the world, talking about our MLS. And our MLS for decades has been about cooperation. It's now turning into competition and who can own the data first. Mm-hmm. And the path that we're on right now, we're going to decimate our MLS system. And the only solution that I see is that the MLSs step up, all 489 of them, and they get together, band together, and they create a governing body to firewall against everything that's happening. That, to me, is the only solution. But that's it.
Everybody, go check out this article. Check out Daryl Davis. Your website is darylspeaks.com, right? Yes?
Yes, I said yes. Sorry. Right.
Okay, just making sure. You can find him as a regular contributor on Inman. Oh, Daryl, I forgot to ask you this. Did you see that Google's getting in the game?
Yeah, I just saw that today, too.
You saw that, right? I'm like, yeah, what do you think? What's your prediction there?
Everybody's fighting for our industry to get a piece of it. They always have. Everybody has, because real estate is the number one industry for our gross domestic product. So, which a lot of people don't know that, but we account for 26%, I think, of our GDP. And so when you're looking at those kind of numbers, everybody wants to get in on it. So I'm not surprised.
I think Google ad revenue has gone down. And one of the key things about that story is that it said it's going to deliver the leads to any Google ads, like local service provider ads, account holders or whatever. So personally, to me, I think, I know people trust Google for quite a bit. Would people trust Google to have comprehensive listings the way they trust a Zillow or a Redfin? It's a question mark. And then knowing that the leads are going to paid advertisers, do they trust the recommendation of agent? It feels just to me I don't think it's going to last. That's my prediction. I think it's just an attempt at getting some ad money from people who are no longer doing Google ads because it's all about AEO now. And I don't think it's going to work. Anyway, I guess we'll see. Let's meet in 6 months and find out what happens.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, Daryl, thank you so much for joining me on The Clean Close. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Well, I didn't expect us to disagree so much. And I'm just going to say right now, I don't think that the old system has enough agility. Kind of like a senior citizen trying to learn pickleball when they've been playing tennis their whole life. I don't know. I just feel like it's too broken to fix with repair. It needs to be newly engineered. So if the idea was we could have a nationwide MLS where brokerages don't have dominance just by numbers, but where there's representation, you know, where everyone could make a play, maybe 70% of the people would want to vote to have private listings treated a certain way. Even with Compass's 30%, it's not 60%. It's not 51%. There's still a majority of people who sell real estate who could have a voice in something that's kind of a for us, by us. In my opinion, the MLSs and the system we currently have has dictated so much, created so many loopholes, but also made it almost impermeable for any agent who has something they want to change. I'm going to show you right now a post from Glenda Baker. She did a story and she called it out.
Why is the listing agent's name and contact information not allowed in the public remarks in MLS? Yes, Mr. MLS that called me last week that thought he would mansplain to me and school me. I'm talking to you. If you're all about transparency to the consumer and you're all about, we want to, you know, do everything to protect the seller, we want to do everything to protect the buyer, then why don't you have the agent who has the listing, my name, Glenda Baker, my phone number, on the public comments? Why are you burying it or allowing it to be buried? Because you're the one syndicating the information directly to these platforms. So let me ask you a question, Mr. MLS. I'd love for you to answer it in the public comments, sir. So why aren't you allowing me to put my name and my phone number in the public comments? If you want transparency for the consumer, it says listing agent Glenda Baker. What is a better idea to tell the buyer this is the agent that works for the seller or seller's agent, Glenda Baker?
Huh? And I added, why don't you let me put my branding on my images or let my branded content, my videos, be part of what is aggregated? Because they've been a service provider. MLSs have been taking our created content we pay money to produce. They've been selling it off to all the different aggregator sites. They don't want to create any conflict from that. As in, they understand they're not stupid. It's part of their business model that people who land on the Zillow page don't necessarily know that listing's not Zillow. Now, maybe that awareness is here now. It was not before. Zillow built its business on the fact that it's not. And our MLSs were 100% complicit in making that happen. But we're in a new era where we're calling you out, MLSs. You are not transparent. And you know what? I don't agree with Compass on much of anything. But at the same time, let's imagine that sellers are not children, that the agent that they talk to makes a pitch to them and the seller either has the right to buy it or not. Let's imagine that, right? Let's imagine, even if I don't think it's the best idea to pocket list every listing, and even if I think it's kind of sus that like maybe the brokerage makes double ending it with like more likely without even ever exposing it to the market. So maybe the seller has to sign something saying they're getting less. Even if all that is there, let's imagine that our home buyers and sellers are not children, that they're able to make conscious decisions, that that might be one listing agent they meet with, but then they're going to meet with somebody else who discusses an alternative option. They have the right to choose. Let's imagine that that voice can still be included in a nationwide MLS. We're losing faith in NAR. And NAR doesn't serve us well anymore. Even the assertions that they say, oh, well, we're a lobbying organization. Well, how did that work when NAR was accused of abandoning its own members who got lawsuits during that first incarnation of commission lawsuits that caused the system to change to what it is we have now? NAR has a legacy, but it also has a troubled past. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, it had a heyday probably, but like a Bill Clinton. It's kind of like some people loved it when it was amazing, but then when you dig in the weeds a little bit better, you're like, eh, it really wasn't the peacemaker. Eh, it had a little perversion problem. And now it's old, it's ineffective, it shows up and nobody cares because everybody else is moving into the future. And our leadership is abandoning the majority of us while other people's leadership is making, breaking, and changing the rules. So we have to get our shit together. This is a really important moment. And if we can't find the way to come together, including everyone, even Compass agents with their pocket listing rules and the other agents who don't believe in that, if we can't actually win in a battle of ideas, then what are we doing here? What are we doing here? This will go on forever, and the only people that lose are the consumers. See you next time on The Clean Clothes.